Chapter 42. High school orders your day into little bits, tiny time slices you have no control over. So, when the day is done, you wonder where the hours disappeared to. Zelos checks the time, nearly 2 o'clock. "May I use your telephone?" he asked the receptionist at the retirement home. Satisfied with a nod, he placed the call to the restaurant where Lena's sister often worked when she wasn't at school or, more rarely, home. "She's already left?" "Ah, thank you." He dialed another number from memory, thankful for such a memory when his cell phone batteries were dead. "Hello?"
"Bingo."
"Luna? This is Lena's friend, Zelos. We've met a couple of times." "Zelos? Who could forget? You make a lasting impression. So, what's up? Why aren't you in school?"
"I need to speak to you, in private. It's very important and urgent. I won't stay long. Would it be possible for me to..."
"I'll be leaving in an hour, so make it snappy," she said, as she hung up the phone.
He sighed. "Try to be polite," he murmured aloud, as he left the Whispering Oaks to board the bus toward home.
It was his last visit here. His marching orders were to begin conditioning, training, and indoctrination tomorrow at some undisclosed location, transportation provided.
"Oh, joy." He smiled and closed his eyes. "Thanks for that line, Zelgadis."
He passed the stop for his house and continued on until Lena's was in view. Yes, Luna's car was still parked in the driveway. He knocked on the door and listened to the sound of slipper-clad feet scraping along the linoleum to the front door.
"Just in time. Come in and have a snack."
"God, you look awful, Zelos," Luna pronounced, as if it were the inarguable truth, which it was, in her house.
"Too bad you don't come over more often. Stuff is starting to accumulate again. Sit down."
He sipped at his tea, looking around for a sugar bowl. "There it is. Hope it's still full. Close enough." He emptied the contents of the bowl into his cup and stirred. It was still cloudy with undissolved crystals when he sipped again. "Smile." Luna shook her head and drank her cup to the bottom, then poured herself another.
"So, what's the rush? Is this about Lena?"
"Yes," he began. "She's too young to marry, you know," Luna snapped back. He dropped his cookie into the teacup. With a spoon, supplied by Luna, he fished it out and slurped it down.
"That's true, although not what I had on my mind. This is complicated, so give me a second. I know who you are to the Seafeed believers. They're knight. You must know, then, who I am."
"Oh, yes. I was there the day your mother carried you into the boardroom and flung a pile of papers on the table laughing. Laughing at my father and Milgazia, who had arranged the transfer of Wolfpack Island to the clan. I was only a child, but I remember the day you knowingly destroyed the hopes and dreams of thousands of innocent clan people. I also know you as the torture victim of that woman and her intrigues, as a novice in the Shrine's priest program, and as the 18-year-old friend to my little sister. Which are you coming as today?"
Zelos smiled. "A friend, I hope. I need you to tell Lena where to find the evidence to bring down Gov and the rest of the syndicate."
Luna's face darkened. "And why would I tell her a thing like that and endanger her life with the information that killed her father?" Zelos' smile faded. He opened his eyes and looked her directly in the eyes.
"Because I am Zelos Metallium, member of the Syndicate, heir to Wolfpack Island. And if you want to get it back and stop the continued takeover of clan lands, you will help me. Now, here's the plan."
He sketched out a brief plan, emphasizing the safety net of supporters.
"But you can't guarantee Lena will be okay. Admit it."
"Luna, you know that's impossible."
But you also know that Gowri, Zel'Goddess, and I are willing to lay down our lives for her.
And you'd better, Metallium. If anything happens to my little sister, I can guarantee you will pay big time, Luna warned. Now, I gotta get to class, then back to work. She stood and looked the young man over before saying, Such a waste. He rose to follow her to the door, raising an eyebrow in question. He asked, Waste? Whatever can you mean? You're not foolish enough to believe that you're going to survive all this. He smiled. Of course I am, knowing that I have you waiting for me back home. Her eyes widened in shock. He giggled and kissed her hand. Farewell, my knight. He stepped out the door and danced away down the street. Alan Schetzer agreed to be introduced to Philia's family prior to any dating. He suggested driving her home all week so that they'd be able to get to know one another as well as have an opportunity to meet her family. He was a very self-possessed, confident young man. So, you're a member of the Draconian cult? Philia asked as she settled herself into the soft, heated leather seats of the sleek BMW. Yes, my father died on a quest for Atlantis, the fool. Lucky for me, he had a futures investor. So, he left us a comfortable estate not far from your settlement, by the way. Over that way is the country club. We have a membership. Do you ride? He asked in an easy manner that came off so natural, nothing artificial. Ride? As in horses? Yes, I started riding lessons before I could walk, she laughed. He chuckled. Good. Maybe you'd like to join me for a ride. Sometime. She smiled. That sounds nice, if the weather's good. He hadn't stayed long that first day, but his effect was long-lasting. Her parents loved him. He had class, drove an expensive, well-maintained car, dressed well, and was mild-mannered yet assured, well-spoken, clean, polite, and handsome, as well as lacking in dyed hair, leathered vests, hardware, and tattoos. So when he mentioned riding at the club, they agreed without a moment's hesitation, allowing their sheltered daughter to visit the club after school the next day. Tuesday's ride and dinner led to Thursday's tennis and swimming. Friday, he promised her a surprise and easily convinced her parents to entrust her to his care until 2 a.m. She considered missing a band practice a breach of another kind of promise, however, and over everyone's objections, said she'd like to confer with Lena first. He had to be satisfied with that answer, since, although not immune from his charms, she had a strong sense of honor and obligation. Good. That made the victory of her heart even more fulfilling. After he had gone home that evening, Philia and her parents talked about him. Her parents saw a fine, graduating senior planning to enter an exclusive private school an hour away, a young man with a promising future. She agreed, but kept a few thoughts to herself. He was confident, all right, also a bit more aggressive than she wanted, not to mention his long line of girlfriends and his child. Was she to be another trophy to be won? There was just something about him. His hands lingered longer than necessary at her waist when he had helped her mount her horse. The next day, when they were done swimming and were climbing out of the pool, he had adjusted her bathing suit strap, first a little lower, and kissed the exposed tan line. Then he returned it to its proper spot. And again, this evening, he had led her outside to his car, pulled her close, and kissed her lightly before slipping into the driver's seat and pulling out. It was soft and fleeting, but it was her first real kiss, and now her heart was fluttering. It was exciting, but things were moving along too fast. Philia, you're so spacey today. What's up? Lena asked, raising an eyebrow and plundering her sandwich. Oh, was I missing something? She smiled. The lunch table was the most difficult place to hide your innermost secrets. Difficult, since the same friends sat side by side each day. Lena and Gowrie were jabbering about some disgusting food selection on his lunch tray, while Amelia began to giggle. "What's so funny?" Lena asked, thinking it had to do with her. "Oh, I just read the cutest poem in my math book today." She glanced shyly at Zelgadis, who looked moody again. "Something about skater fools with yellow hair, flying in the wind, then can't remember the rest, but it sounds neat, huh?" Lena's expression was priceless. At least Zell thought so at first. Her face bore the look of horror, then panic. He thought, right. Lena used to write poetry in her math book all the time back in elementary school to relieve the boredom. Maybe Lena still did it too. Could Amelia have Lena's book from last year? This could be fun. "Lena, that couldn't be your poetry, could it?" he teased. Shit, zealousness was contagious. Before she could protest, Amelia had pulled her book out of her bag and passed it across the table to him. "I brought it along so that I could look up a few of my favorites and write them down at lunch. What do you think, Zelgadis?"
"Lena, I think it is yours. Now here's a good one. View from Skater Park." The golden rays of the sun lit his hair as he flashes me his warm smile of welcome. My heart beats faster. Zell stopped reading aloud as he scanned the sentiments ahead. He realized that he was about to make a dreadful mistake in revealing someone's deepest feelings about one of the lunch table companions. Instead, he said, "Actually, I don't think this is by Lena. My mistake, Amelia. I know Lena's writing style, and this isn't it. See this cursive V? Not hers at all." It was true, he realized. This doesn't look like Lena's writing. Neat handwriting? Lena? What was I thinking? Then he remembered another detail. He added, "And Lena didn't even know any skaters when she was in algebra." However, she wasn't smiling. Zell wondered, "Hey, Lena, I'm helping you. Why are you fuming at me?" Then he went on. "Plus, Lena'd never write awful sappy stuff like this in a math book. That would surely fall into the wrong hands someday. She's too sharp for that." Suddenly, Lena's fist pounded him on the top of his head. "Hey! Zell, you callous, dumbass, insensitive moron!" Lena cried. Zell looked at her in utter confusion. Lena seized his head by the sides and thrust his face to the side, from which angle he caught sight of a wavering Sylphiel on the edge of tears. There it went. Zell's one attempt at playful teasing fell to ruin. The looks of anger and disappointment, of hurt feelings even, especially from Gowrie and Sylphiel, the nicest people on the planet. It struck him. Hard. I'm sorry. He choked out to Sylphiel, then ran out of the scene, admonishing himself cruelly as he did so. He could feel the resentment emanating from the table after him, and it was even scarier than the thought of Lena beating him up. Everyone agreed that it had been a poor attempt at humor. Zell, feeling like a refugee from the law, searched the crowded halls until he found what he was looking for. An alcove in the wall where he could blend in with the gray paint and disappear. He'd done it. He'd really upset everyone. He'd said some cruel things. Unwittingly, maybe, but that was no excuse. To someone who'd never hurt him. And he felt like crap. If only he could retract those statements, rewind time and edit it for content like so much movie film. But it didn't work that way. He would have to go back and confront Lena and the others eventually, especially since lots of them were in his cooking class. He couldn't bear it if they all looked at him with cold resentment, not after he just got used to relying on them. The angry looks, the disappointment they'd given him, were the worst thing he could conceive of. And then he ran away. Dumbass was right. He should have stuck around to hear out Amelia's inevitable justice rant, and a few more punches from Lena, and apologized to poor Sylphiel,
and then everything would be all right. But as it was, he couldn't do that. He didn't know what to do, how to handle this. Usually he'd ask Lena, but now Lena was the problem. Oh, you're here. Sorry to bother. It's okay, Vaughn. I'm just hiding from my problems. There's room for one more, he offered, seeing the depressed, troubled look on the skinny kid's face. Not that Vaughn didn't always look depressed and troubled, but now he looked more so than usual. Thanks. He slid down beside Zell, back against the wall, head bowed, knees clasped to his chest. Just like Zell. The two moodiest little hotties in the school. They sat there, in silence, for a while, watching the feet go by. There were combat boots, Converse sneakers, Birkenstocks, platform shoes in all degrees of tackiness, penny loafers, fancy athletic shoes that looked like bowling footwear. It was soothing. From your feet, all you can really tell is what direction you're going. So, what's up? Vaughn asked quietly. Nothing's up. It's pretty much all down. I just alienated all my friends in one fell swoop. I was trying to make a joke, but I'm just not cast as the funny one, I guess. Sorry, but you've got a good group. They don't stay mad for long. Zell looked up at the draconian kid. He had dark hair that was short, but as wild as his own, with the same kind of bangs that hid his eyes. Those eyes were a red-brown that looked like they were windows to a tortured soul, red with fire and blood, just as Zell's were blue with ice and pain. So much alike, the two swordsmen, short, thin, and moody. In a way, they could feel those kindred spirits kindle. Unlike yours? He asked him. Vaughn swallowed. Kinda. It's just that I can't seem to say anything right, you know? Hitomi never reacts the way I think she will. When I try to be nice, when I'm really honest, I always have to ruin it, and she misunderstands, and I don't know. There was so much anger and confusion, aka angst, in this kid. The main difference that Zell could see, however, was that Vaughn's problems had to do with the fact that he really liked that Hitomi girl, some track star, and she had eyes only for that damn Alan Schetzer guy. Zell's problem was that a girl liked him, not the other way around. Mostly, anyway. For now. Maybe never. Other than that, they were remarkably alike. I don't know either, if it makes you feel any better, Zell offered with a grim laugh. Val looked up, smiling thoughtfully. Yeah, I know. And they sat there, in silent, teenage male communion, for the rest of the lunch period. Just before the bell rang, Zell's heavy backpack was thrust into his gut. He looked up to see Lena, looking as tall as possible for her tiny frame, standing above him, hands on hips. Lena? He gasped, trying to get the wind back into his lungs. What were you thinking, leaving your backpack in the cafeteria, dope? Come on, don't just sit there, or you'll be late for class. Up, march, she commanded, with all her usual zeal and cheer. For a moment, he was taken aback. Then it dawned on him. Lena had forgiven him. Boy, that hadn't taken long. Val was right. He did have a good group. I'll be right along, Lena. He turned to Vaughn. Hey, what class do you have next? Free period. Want to come to the computer lab with me? I can show you how to use the internet to research your draconian cult stuff, if you want. Sure. There. Zell's good deed of the day to balance out his bad one. Take that, karma. The next day, lunch was similarly tense, but in a different way. Zell was heading over to his spot at the table, when he noticed that it was filled with someone else, Alan Schetzer. He was going over to talk to Vaughn anyway, but it was disturbing nonetheless. Zell waved down Vaughn, and together they found seats with the other Draconians. Lena and Gowri were waiting in a long, build-your-own-sandwich-for-a-buck line. Val was glowering beside Philia, who was talking to both Alan and Silphiel. Silphiel had been oohing and aahing through a large notebook of Philia's tiny dragon pictures from magazines and computer printouts. Zell's drawing just recently added. Val wished he could make a cluster of those diminutive dragons fly up from the page and attack Alan. The perfect revenge. The dragon defeating the knight. Amelia noticed Zell's hesitation and subsequent relocation again to the opposite side of the cafeteria. Alan's presence was irritating her more now. As physically attractive as Alan was, she found him lacking in substance and morals. The fact that her good friend was apparently infatuated with him pained her, and trading Zelgadas for Alan was not acceptable. Zelos was not pleased with the Zell substitute either. He had no qualms about acting out his feelings. "Alan, how are you and Crystal getting along these days?" Alan turned to look at the odd kid to his right. "We broke up some time ago." "Oh, too bad. And Cheryl? Or was it Sherilyn? Or Carolyn? Or..." Alan shook his head. "Cheryl. Cheryl and I broke up last month." "Oh, that is sad. Do you have problems keeping a girl, So tell us about the little shud." Alan was getting tired of this, but didn't want to let on. "She'd. My son is fine, thank you." "She'd? Like Rashid Wallace and the Portland Blazers power forward? What a clever name. Your idea, I suppose." "No, his mother's," he snapped, turning back to Philia to share a story with her. Zelos was not finished, however. He was just warming up. He smiled, eyes closed, and said dreamily, "I want kids, too. Of course, I'd like to live with them and their mother, too, after I married her. Yes, a real family would be nice, don't you think?" Val, tensed to the breaking point, was torn between ripping the face off Alan Schetzer and joining Zelos in his roast. Alan had had enough taunting from the annoying creep next to him, so he cleared his throat and said in a voice sufficiently low so only the kids sitting nearest could hear, "Normal? Like, say, your family life? A girl I once knew well attended a certain dancing school for a while. You know the one, I'm sure. You were the director's particular favorite, isn't that right? He even married your mother to get to you. Interesting family, when the father prefers his stepson to his beautiful wife." Zelos was unprepared for that extremely personal dig, but Val wasn't. He leapt onto the table and dove for the rich kid, flooring him with his tackle. Lena, who was returning from the sandwich line, shoved her plate onto Gowri's tray and flew into the fray, tearing Val off Alan and hissing, "Get off and get lost fast before you get reported. Now, move it!" He did, but before he left, he muttered through clenched teeth, "I'll kill you if you ever talk to an abused guy like that again." Alan apologized to Zelos, dusted off his clothes, and left also, with a nod to Philia. Lena wanted to know what the hell that was about. Zelos shook his head and remained mute. Amelia hadn't the heart to be specific, but answered as best she could. "Mr. Alan and Mr. Zelos were trading insults when Mr. Alan went too far and Mr. Val stopped them." "Val stood up for Zelos? Must have been a low blow," said Lena, looking steadily at the remaining stern-faced guys for some reaction.
"Drop it, Lena," urged Gowri wisely.
Silphiel moved around the table to sit between Amelia and Zelos. "These pictures are so cute, you know. You gotta take a look. See? This one's adorable. And on this page is my favorite." Zelos gazed at the thick notebook. and before long was lost in a world of cuteness. He found a Chinese red dragon that he pronounced the best, save for Zell's Valentine enclosure. Since he seemed happy to be amused by the pictures, Lena backed down to await the band practice and Val's full disclosure. In the meantime, Zell and Vaughn were observing these events.
"I see Alan's really started to hang out with your group," Vaughn observed. "That tall punk guy looks like he wants to kill him, and seems like he would."
"Val, he's had a rough life, but he's been cool. He just moved in last weekend," Zell said.
"In?"
"Yeah, into the house."
"How many stepbrothers do you have now?" Vaughn asked with a rare smile.
"Well, Val isn't really a stepbrother, but including him, two, and a stepparent. Seems like a pretty messed up family."
"Tell me about it."
"And it's father number, what, four for Zelos? Man, it's like the worst kind of soap opera. What about you? You have an older brother."
"I have no brother," Vaughn said, with anger that was not directed at Zell. "He's no brother of mine."
Zell was sorry he asked. Luckily, Vaughn was forgiving, and they moved on to talking about Alan's situation. Deadbeat dad, crazy transvestite sister, illegitimate child and all, instead.
"I think," Vaughn said, smiling again, "that your switch was an unequal trade in our favor."
"Oh, I don't think it's permanent, though I'm always glad to hang out with you. A nice change from nutty Slayersville," Zell smiled back.
Zelos put in an appearance just before the bell rang to ask Zelos if he'd be coming to cooking class that day.
"Not if it's Wednesday or Friday, and maybe not at all next week. Depends on how the work goes," Zelos said with a half-hearted smile and a shrug.
"You might as well just drop the class then. This is a short-term class. After spring break, we go to archery instead,"
Zell reminded everybody.
Zelos gave him an it-hardly-matters-anyway look.
"Don't give me that look, Zelos. What about your math class? Have you missed that, too?"
"I switched times, so I go there now and trip off the rest of the day with Wrens at the old folks' home. But it doesn't matter. Ah, the bell. Gotta run."
Zelos smiled inanely and waved.
"Don't forget we have band practice and that group thing tonight, too," Zell called after him.
Lena pulled alongside Zell.
"What's his problem, Zell?"
"I don't know. I don't want to know. And you don't either. Later, Lena,"
mumbled Zell as he sped around her and out the door. At band practice, Zelos indicated to Lena during a break that he had something of interest to show her.
"Up in your loft, huh? I'd rather you just brought it down here." She eyed him intensely.
He grinned and shook his head slowly back and forth.
"Oh, have it your way then," she huffed and followed him up the staircase.
Zelos knelt down, pulled a box out from under his desk, and set it on the daybed.
"Sit down and have a look," he said invitingly,
knowing how curious she was.
"Okay,
nice old box," she smiled, and began to lift the lid. Zelos stopped her with a single finger touching her lips.
"Don't say a word, just look,"
he whispered, and withdrew the finger before she bit it off.
"Fine. Oh my god, these are beautiful, Zelos. Where did you get these?"
"Well,
Ooh, can I try them on? Of course I can. Two bracelets, a brooch, and a belt buckle, huh? A bit gaudy, but not for me. Ha ha. So, how much do you want for them?"
Lena asked, eyes sparkling with desire for the lovely red and silver jewelry.
"Want? Well, they're priceless. Look, they've been modified to be a mobile amplification unit, see? Press this button and say something."
"Like this? Wow!
Oh, yeah, better not attract all the others, huh?
Zelos, I gotta have these. I won't need a microphone on stage,
so I can run up and down aisles and through the crowd and I gotta have them. Name your price, she insisted.
You can't afford them, but...
I'll go to that dance club place with you, not a date, but all of us together. But I'll dance with you. Please? Got 'em. Yes! They're mine! Mine!
She giggled gleefully at her hard-won prizes.
Okay, Lena.
He looked bewildered and scratched his head, but smiled when he thought of dancing with Lena.
This Friday. Dinner and dancing.
When they returned downstairs, Amelia and Sylphiel were explaining why they'd have to miss band practice on Friday.
This is one of the biggest events for the chorus this year, and you can only miss one event. The next one's during spring break, which we may miss if the recording studio gets us in, right?
How about you, Philia? Aren't you in the chorus too? Zell asked.
Yes, but I have other plans. Canceling band practice is fine for me, for Friday,
Philia answered evasively.
Good, because the rest of us have a fundraiser to attend. After dinner, that is,
Lena announced. Don't worry, it's nothing you or Sylphiel would be doing anyway.
What? That sailing club's dance place. No, Amelia, you wouldn't. Trust me. Your father wouldn't let you near the place.
What makes you think I'm going? Asked Zell, holding his pop bottle up and staring through it.
Next thing he knew, he was staring into Lena's face. Because you're driving, she answered curtly. Gowrie, Val, all right. It's all settled, then.
Zell grabbed Lena's wrist.
What's this?
He asked, jabbing the ruby-encrusted bracelet.
Just, it's a secret, she grinned.
Zell frowned and took another look, a careful look. No mistaking those markings. They were just like the ones on his sword.
Zelos gave you these.
It was more of a statement than a question. Zelos nearly bowled them both over in his hurry to stifle the cross-examination.
Why don't you show everyone how the amplifiers work, okay, Lena? On a song.
Zelos gave Zell a smile.
Trust me. Somehow I seem to have gotten into the habit of doing just that, Zell smirked.
The Amelia van came and left, taking everyone home. Val, Zell, and Zelos whipped together dinner before Zell and Zelos had to leave for their group therapy session with Dr. Adams. Val was doing most of the talking.
Okay, let me clue you in on Club Siberia. It's edgy. You may want to toughen up your look before going. Zell, those ears of yours scream rings and things. Zelos, I haven't given up on you. Nose piercing, and one earring maybe. Hey, just watch Zell. No blood or anything.
I didn't say I was going to... Fine then, what else?
Zell acquiesced what was left of his dignity.
Might as well go native and blend in. Val laughed. Oh yeah, black t-shirts, mesh sleeves. Show some scar, huh?
Zell looked ill.
Oh joy.
And Lena's going to dance with me. She promised. A night of blasting noise and dancing with loud, obnoxious jerks.
Zelos was laughing and swirling around the room.
You'll fit right in. Zell smirked as he finished the macaroni and cheese.
Val, is that salad done yet? Good, let's eat.
Oh, hello, Zelos. Dinner's ready.
Zelos, shut up and set the table.
Sorry, boys, to just eat and run, but I have a teacher's meeting at the high school tonight. I'll be back after 10 o'clock.
She smiled, kissed Rezzo more passionately than necessary, and left the house. Rezzo disappeared into TV land as the kitchen telephone rang.
Who would call the house? Zell wondered.
He picked it up.
Hello?
Zelgadas, isn't it? This is Nels Lada. You remember from the shrine? Is your father home?
Zelos?
No? Good. I need to speak with him alone. Thank you. I'm on my way.
So, going for the piercing tonight?
Val asked as they washed up dishes.
I don't know.
Zelos and I have this standing doctor's appointment we have to run to immediately, Zell said pointedly at Zelos, who appeared off in dreamland.
I'll go with you and read in the waiting room. I gotta finish this book somehow, he chuckled.
It'll be late, Zell continued.
These kind of places don't keep no banker hours, Zell. You scared or something? Val taunted.
No. All right, then get your stuff and meet us at the car in, say, 28 seconds.
Zell smirked and pushed Zelos to the door to find their shoes and coats. When the good doctor saw that Val was with them, he invited him in as well.
For once, I'd like to be able to talk to you all and not be mending you all at the same time. So, let's start with the most recent. Today, perhaps.
Anything happen at school today that was upsetting?
Valley boy got into a fight defending my honor.
Zelos giggled.
He was in his goofy persona that hadn't surfaced for some time.
Aw, oh, I couldn't let that fucking Schetzer get away with bringing up crap like that, Val said defensively.
Dark secrets? The doctor asked Zelos.
Not anymore, Zelos said.
Zelos told us, his closest friends, about his stepfather, the entrapment and torture, and that the man was a pedophile. I know from first-hand experience, from when we were both trapped in that tower, that the man was sick and depraved, Zell interrupted.
Anyway, this guy made it sound like Zelos wanted it, snarled Val, so I shut him up and told him I'd kill him next time.
You have a lot of pent-up anger ready to blow, Val, observed the doctor. Your heart was certainly in the right place, but you don't need trouble right now, am I correct?
And you're right. Abuse comes in many forms. I don't know which is worse.
It sounds like that other kid has problems of his own.
I'd like to suggest some alternatives to meeting out death threats, however.
The discussion continued for some time. Dr. Adams tried to be non-judgmental and empowered the boys with non-aggressive behavior modifications. The open discussion moved on to other relationship problems. It was immediately clear that Zell was not comfortable talking about himself or girls, while Zelos was eager and Val was unconcerned, mostly. Kinda. But lately there was this other guy who... Rich and pretty, and he's all wrong for her. He's collecting girls, and she's about to become just another. And she's not just some common... What?
Val sneered at Zelos, who was giggling.
You're talking about Philia Ulcott, Miss Perfect Head Cheerleader, and Alan Schetzer, Mr. Perfect Senior Class President. They're made for one another. Neither one cares about anyone else but themselves, Zelos cackled.
That's not fucking true!
Val growled. I'm not saying I'm good enough or not for her, but I know sure as hell he ain't. Besides, I know more about her than you two do, you know. I spent all that time with her and her family out in the colony, remember?
You don't talk about that much,
Zelos pointed out.
Yeah, well, it's personal. You guys aren't part of that Seafeed Believer stuff, so it wouldn't matter to you.
It matters to you, right? And you're our friend, so it matters to us too, Zelos argued.
Zelos, Zell sighed. Sometimes people don't want to talk about things. You can't force them.
Oh, yes, we can. Zelos and Val turned on Zelgadis.
Enough about me, Zellboy. How about your romantic problems? Val said.
How about not? I don't have any romantic problems. Zell sniffed.
The doctor chuckled.
Val has found a great way to get himself off the hook, hasn't he? But I really wanted to hear more about this Alan Schetzer person. I seem to recall a few things about him, just from the practice, you know.
I thought good doctors weren't supposed to discuss their patients. Isn't that breaking confidentiality?
Zell asked pointedly.
Not like that, Zell Goddess. I mean, I remember seeing other patients come in here.
Oh, like his sister?
Zelos asked. I danced with her at the beginning of the year at the Halloween dance. She's quite insane, isn't she?
Yes, that's a pity. She was a normal child, but she's gone through all sorts of trauma. Like you, Zelos. Only she never recovered. You see, there are people worse off than you. She doesn't have any choices. But you have all done well. How are your grades from last semester, may I ask?
Fine, Zell answered. The usual. From Zelos. Val looked away. All eyes were on him. They expected him to get angry and difficult, like he usually was around the subject of academics. But instead, he was just quiet. Actually, I passed them all. Even the ones I mostly skipped. They cheered, but he didn't seem to react correctly, so they all stopped and waited for him to continue. I mean, he said, some of it was because you guys made me come to school during finals. That helped. But some of it, I don't know, and I think I had a little help from high places, if you know what I mean. He grumbled with a quick, slant-eyed glance at Zelos. And that really pissed me off, and I don't know why. I mean, other than the fact that it's help from the enemy. It makes you mad because it belittles your own ability and goes against your sense of honesty, Dr. Adams told him, weathering the disbelieving scoffs. You're an honorable person with morals and pride, and that was more degrading than helpful, she'll find. He emphasized the she part, so Val understood that he knew that he meant zealous. But perhaps it wasn't like that. It could have been all your own doing, but you don't have enough confidence to accept it, he offered. Anyone who can play music the way you do can't be stupid, Zelos added. You don't have to work as hard as Gowri, and you generally do better. If you just applied yourself a little more. Why bother? I'm not trying to get into Harvard, you know, Val growled defensively. I got a job and all. The graduation things just to impress nobody. And I'm sure not nobody's parents, chuckled Zelos, dodging Val's half-hearted punch. Dr. Adams was sitting back, chuckling softly at the good-natured teasing coming from his troubled kids. Zell was holding back tonight, though. Zelgadis, have you given those skin treatments any thought? Huh? Oh, well, not until I can afford them. If ever. Maybe summer. I don't know. Zell muttered, not happy that the attention had reverted to him. Treating your entire body is expensive, yes, but we could begin with your face, then hands and arms. Zelos has approved funds for that much. And we could get started tonight with a very simple procedure. That's right. I'm sure the other two won't mind waiting out in the foyer a few minutes. Zell sat gaping. My cure? Starting tonight? So tempting. It was what he'd been dreaming of, right? So why did it feel like he was standing at the edge of a precipice, looking out into the abyss? Not tonight. We have other things to do. He said quickly, and rose to leave. You think too much, Val said with a smirk. Yeah, anyway, we're gonna break him out of that shell. If it kills me, I know. Zell smiled. Then, remembering one last thing, asked, Zelos, you should mention the status of your plans now, too. Zelos's cheerful visage darkened with the reminder. I'm receiving training and conditioning for my upcoming assignment. It's going to be very soon, I'm afraid. Spring break. Atlas City, for a start. Maybe Seyrun and Syrog as well. My orders are not that specific yet. Dr. Adams looked sadly at the sober-faced youth. What kind of a conditioning? Zelos was working hard to fight back tears. Val and Zell looked away. I have a high tolerance for pain, but I faint at the sight of blood now. That's not acceptable in my new line of work, apparently. So they are, don't worry. I'm okay as long as I don't have to talk about it, or think about it. I focus on the goal and the fact that it will be over soon. Adams shook his head. You have my number. Call if you're hurt. I'll see to it that both your body and your mind survive this. Zell, Val, I'm counting on you to call as well. No heroics, understand? Good. And continue to keep me informed, please. Zell drove the car silently to the tattoo and piercing parlor that they had visited before. There were several other clients in the shop as well, which allowed them time to pore over the possibilities. Zelos still refused to deliberately punch holes in his body, no matter how much Val tried to persuade him. Somehow, "Don't you want to be as cool as me?" just wasn't cutting it. Zelgadis was already seated in the dental-style chair. He was satisfied that the entire process was extremely hygienic, no blood transfer, latex gloves, and sterile hardware. He was beginning to regret going first, a little. He would have liked to watch someone else get pierced first, but figured Zelos needed the reassurance more. He didn't want to have to revive his friend again after an embarrassing collapse. The technician applied a topical anesthetic to both ears. While waiting for it to take effect, the technician expressed excitement over his remarkable ears. "I've never seen anything like them here before. They'll look so cool pierced," she said adoringly. "That's because he's an elf," chirped Zelos, eyes glittering with good humor. "Really? I'd wondered about the skin and all. You looked so..." She was struggling with a limited vocabulary, which Zelos was more than happy to supply from the audience. "Exotic. Yes, that's how you can tell." "But I always thought elves would be much taller and..." she began. "Blonder, like Legolas. You watch too much Hollywood. But he can sing and play music. We're part of a band. I'm the drummer and Val's keyboards, and Zelgadis here is our elf guitarist." Zelos grinned. Zelos was really getting into his role now. Val had given up trying to disappear and couldn't believe how well Zell was holding up. "How the hell's he managed not to kill that guy? I don't know," Val muttered to a punk acquaintance he'd recognized in the shop. "They're not boyfriends?" the punk asked Val. "Nah, related. Believe it or not, the purple-haired one is the girl-crazy one. I gotta go shut him up, though." Val growled and moved closer to where Zelos was standing and smiling. "Wow, a real elf? My girlfriends will never believe me. Oops, time to pierce. Which ones wear right? I suggest a stud ring on this ear and stud ring on this one. But you could go with a long dangly one instead. No? Yeah, kinda girly, you're right. I'm gonna start way up because it'll show off the shape better. God, this is so cool," the technician gushed. Zell simply closed his eyes and blocked out all the chatter from Zelos, the girl, and the spectators. He was allowing a stranger to touch him intimately, a girl to boot. She wasn't repulsed. In fact, she was excited. Of course, she thought he was an elf, the nitwit, not a scarred kid, but maybe that was all a game she was playing too. Perhaps if he stopped focusing on his insecurities, others would too. Zelos looked on, watching Zell's reactions, and wondered, "Oh, want to take a look? Here, I'll hold the mirror. Awesome, huh? So what's your band's name? Can I see you guys play sometime?" the dazzled girl asked breathlessly. Zelos answered easily, "The Slayers. Val will bring a flyer by next time we're playing in town, which may be a while, since we have to visit a recording studio coming up." "Cool! But before you go, can I touch your hair? It looks so... it is soft! Wow!" She ran her finger through Zelos' hair once before he backed away. Zelos really wasn't fond of having his hair mussed with, especially by strangers. The technician had moved over to Val, whom she knew from previous visits. "Nothing for you tonight, Val? Oh, poor baby, that must have hurt." She sympathized, indicating the tear caused by Sagram when he ripped out his nose ring. "Yeah, wasn't nothing. Accident, you know. Yeah, nothing for me. Just bringing in more clients for you. Thanks." Val grinned. "Well, the next one's free on me, Val. Remember?" She grinned back,
then filled out a form and handed it to Selgadus. Take that to the counter, and Gus will take your money. There are instructions for taking care of those so infections don't get started, okay?
Zell smiled, nodded, paid up, and left the shop. Outside, a strange look came over Zelos' face.
Hey guys, can you wait for a minute?
Sure, what?
I'll be right back,
he called and rushed back into the parlor. Just as Zell and Val were about to go back in looking for him, he emerged with a silver stud in his nose?
Wow, did you really?
Nope, he grinned and removed it momentarily. Just a magnetic one. But I couldn't let you guys have all the fun. This way, I can put it anywhere I want. He tried it on his ear, his eyebrow, and was going to attempt his lip before Zell smacked him.
Gods, Zelos, it's been in your nose. You're so messed up.
They all laughed.
I can't believe I did this, muttered Zell, touching the multiple piercings on his left ear.
Me neither. I actually let her touch my hair. Now where's my comb?
Zelos muttered to himself.
Val was chuckling at their wide-eyed excitement.
Ah, step in here for a bit. It's open for another hour.
What's this place? Zelos asked.
Jewelry and stuff. Just get in, will ya? He growled impatiently.
Before Zelgadus could object, Val pushed the smaller boy into the store and over to some hanging clothes.
Look at this. Black, mesh, flames, and sloppy. Just your look. Hey, Chaos Kid. Over here. Sleeveless, mesh, purple.
Zelos scrunched up his nose.
Come on, Valley. I like Zelgadus's better.
No twin stuff, Val snorted. Zelos found a wine-colored shirt with a black dragon motif, then moved on to the jewelry. The sales clerk took an interest in him, and opened the case to let him try different things on. Zell and Val listened with interest.
Nah, not that, said Val. Tougher, heavier. You're going for gritty, not girly.
In the end, Zell ended up with a spiked bracelet, a studded belt and chain to secure his wallet. Zelos, a heavy chain necklace. They were about to pay for their shirts and jewelry when Val's activity caught their attention. He was pondering a bandana sweatband in black.
Zelos liked it too, saying it would help him in karate.
So he bought one for himself and one for Val as a thank you for all his assistance. Before leaving downtown, Zelos convinced Zell to stop at the ice cream parlor across from the shrine.
For a treat.
Zell was ready to go home, but Val looked interested and Zelos was insistent.
When did I ever become so weak? He wondered as he parked nearby.
We have to put this stuff on too, squealed Zelos, ripping off his polo shirt.
Maybe someone we know from school will see us.
Val, can you hook this chain for me?
Zell shook his head. God, I hope not. Everyone should be home, doing their homework.
Val rolled his eyes, but fixed the clasp. He stared at his attractive friend for a moment.
You should have been a girl, you know. Life would have been easier for you.
Zelos stuck out his tongue.
You wish.
Val growled and threw a punch. But Zelos blocked it with ease, then, laughing, hopped into the shop.
Zelgadus laughed. Val, just ignore him. He won't go away, but you won't feel like such a fool.
They all plowed through huge sundaes topped with an atrocious assortment of syrups, candies, and whipped cream. Zell ordered a cup of tea and watched the others finish. He couldn't believe he'd eaten that amount and decided to stop before he ate so much he'd be up all night. He pulled his sweatshirt hood down and folded his arms across his chest. He was having a good time. Val and Zelos were laughing noisily, attracting a lot of attention from a cluster of kids, girls and boys, at a nearby table. Val always looked scary, cool and arrogant. Now Zelos looked a bit dangerous too. Val had been right. With the punk attire, even he felt edgier.
his bright blue eyes, half hidden by a fringe of wild lavender hair, observed the other table unseen. They were older, popular kids from his high school, and of no interest to him. At times like that, he wished he really was an elf who could brandish a sword or fling arrows with expert ease. With powerful spells, he could take out all enemies, protecting his friends and impressing. "Hey, little brother, wake up. Time to go." Zelos interrupted Zell's trance with his funny sing-song voice. "What? Oh, yes, of course." Zell answered, shaking the dream out of his head. "Time to go. Here, you drive home, all right?" "Okie dokie." Zelos grinned and hopped into the driver's seat and strapped on his seatbelt. "To infinity and beyond," he shouted, and pulled away from the curb. "Just home, please, and in one piece," Zell added with a sigh. Amazing. An entire evening without blushing. He must be growing out of that annoying physical response. "Which piece?" Zelos chortled. "The human one, or the elvish part?" A blush spread across Zell's cheek at the reminder. "Shit, Zelos, just drive." Val chuckled to himself. "Yeah, just ignore him for sure, Mr. Know-It-All." Friday after school. Zell had prepared eggplant lasagna, as well as the regular dinner the night before, so that he and his friends could eat dinner and relax before going to the dance club. He hadn't seen Zelos since lunch break, and hoped that he'd make it home in time to go out. Val was fixing the salad and grating cheese, his specialty. "So, when's Lena and Gowrie coming over? Soon, huh?"
"Yeah, any time," Zell answered curtly.
"Rezzo and Zelos too?"
Val asked.
"Naturally. They're in the front room waiting to feed on my pain and suffering as we speak." He smiled faintly.
"A car!"
Zell rushed to the door and opened it in time to spot Zelos exiting the back door of a black, sleek, foreign car. He made a note of the license plate and waited.
"Glad you could make it," he smirked at Zelos,
but Val saw the wave of relief wash over his face.
"Yeah, me too," Zelos sighed, exhaustion showing in his smile. "I'm going to clean up and change first."
Val watched the retreating form of their friend, then asked,
Zell, where are those leaf things to make the table larger?"
Zell closed the door and helped Val fix the table. Lena and Gowrie showed up midway through pushing the table together, and so offered to pour drinks, set the table, and sit down.
"I'll go see what's keeping Zelos," Zell murmured and disappeared. For a guy who goes to a lot of trouble putting on the I don't care act, Zell sure keeps tabs on his friend out there, Val noted.
Lena grinned. "He's the most emotional guy I know. He's just made a science of trying to hide it. He's breaking down, though, especially with you and Zelos around him all the time now. Must be tough to keep up that wall all the time." Zell knocked a couple of times, then entered the practice room. The shower was off, and he could hear Zelos humming a familiar tune as he burst from the bathroom.
"Zelos, God, what are they doing to you?" Zell cried out in a combination of concern and anger.
Zelos, half-dressed, jumped at his voice.
"Shit, Zelos, you scared me to death just now."
"I knocked, you didn't answer, so I let myself in. It's been 22 minutes and Lena's getting hungry," Zell added, walking closer to his friend.
"Bruises, Zelos. These look painful."
"And those are just the ones you can see. Hold on, let me put on my shirt and stuff,"
he shouted over his shoulder as he bounded up the stairs. On his way down, he laughed.
"I'm not so great at defending myself with my hands tied, but I'm learning. Don't worry. Actually, I'd be more worried about the damage Lena'll do if I keep her waiting much longer, right?"
Zell shook his head. He knew he wouldn't get any more information out of the guy. Zelos was going to so much trouble to put on a great act,
feigning not to hurt, that Zell felt aggravated. Zelos dropped the act. I'd like to think we're good enough friends that you don't have to pretend around me. That's better. Now seriously, shall I call Dr. Adams and have him look you over? Zelos shook his head. No, I didn't get them all tonight, anyway. A couple aspirins and a night out is all I need, honest. Don't tell the others, please. Of course not. Zelos and Rezzo are joining us for dinner. I thought I'd warn you. Zell continued in his most serious tone. Oh, God. Thanks for the warning. Okay, I'm ready. Come on, let's go. Everything's going to be all right. They sang together on their way over to the other house. Everyone sat uneasily around the table. Gowrie sat on one side of Rezzo. Zelos snuggled up on the other. Lena sat in between Gowrie and Zell, with Zelos next and Val between Zelos and Zelos. One big happy family dinner. Rezzo was more talkative than usual, asking each kid about his or her classes. Lena, do you complain about the work in science as much as my son, Zelgadis, here? Ah, more, I'm sure, she offered while loading up on her second helping. That teacher's not only the drone, but he's a machoist. I mean, he's got a grade all that crap we write. Doesn't he need a life too? No delicate flower, that girl, Zell thought, smiling privately. I see. And how about you, Gowrie? I remember you and Val here working on a history project last fall. Is that your favorite subject or your stumbling block? Rezzo asked, raising an eyebrow as he listened to Gowrie and Lena tussle over a meatball. Maybe it will fly off her fork and hit Rezzo in his smug face, Zell wished. Silently, of course. Gowrie's attention, drawn off by the question, meant that Lena won with a tiny cry of glee. Yes! History? No, that's my worst class. Without Zell's help Thursdays, I'd never pass, I'm sure. Could you pass me that salad, please? Gowrie asked politely. Of course. And you, son, anything interesting coming up? Rezzo asked, fixing his closed eyes on Zell. Besides my dinner? Zell said, spring break. Amelia's lining up a visit to Macross Recording Studios. Hopefully we'll get to do something. If not, then we can glean information for later use. I meant concerning your schoolwork, not that damned band nonsense. Rezzo replied in a raised voice. Well, in that case, nothing interesting. Zell smirked, knowing his father could feel it, even though he couldn't actually see it. Rezzo's aura was flaring up. Zelos, sensing disaster, squeezed his arm gently and added soothingly, But he'll soon be out of that cooking class and starting up archery again, dear. I'm sure that will improve his state of mind, don't you think? Archery. Why don't you play a real sport, like track or baseball? Rezzo growled. I can't do track. My legs are too short. God, what a lie. Baseball's summer only, and I'm usually working, Zell said coolly, and the questioning moved on. How about you, Zelos? How are classes going for you this term? Well, I missed so much of cooking that I've had to drop it. But I'm really getting into that community service work at the old folks' home. He grinned. Victory! Go for broke, big brother! Zell smiled. Then I had to drop French for the novice bit, but that's coming along great, too. In fact, you'll be proud to know that, like your father, Rezzo, I'm the only other novice to complete the program in a month's time. I get elevated to full priesthood in spring. April 1st, if I'm not mistaken. He stood and bowed to Rezzo. To everyone's astonishment, Rezzo nodded and said, Congratulations. I was wrong about you, Zelos. I didn't think you could stick to anything long enough to see it through. You're welcome. And as you shall see, I always see my plans through to completion, if they are challenging enough. Zelos said meaningfully. Lena cleared her throat and the air. Zell,
If there's any dessert, we'd best get a move on, right? The club opens in 40 minutes, and you gotta park and get in line early to get in. Zell took her cue to draw attention away from the dangerous waters.
Sure, just a moment. Wanna give me a hand, Lena?
She helped carry bowls and spoons for Zell, who then ladled servings of cooled egg custard and passed a raspberry topping.
Well, Val, how are you settling in here?
Rezzo resumed his interrogation.
Here? The room's great. I appreciate the computer and all. I'm typing fast enough to do homework and look up stuff for classes. The cafeteria job's working out good too, Zelus. Thanks. Gives me free meals and more credits for graduation and all.
Val looked questioningly up at the spectacularly beautiful woman beside him. She smiled and patted his arm, purring, "My pleasure, dear." It took a supreme effort on Val's part to look away from her face. In fact, his hand trembled as hers lifted away and he attempted to pick up his spoon.
"Careful now, Val. She's evil and could destroy you at any time. Don't fall for her."
Zell wished his elven mind link was operable. What did they call it in ElfQuest? Oh yeah, sending. But he didn't really like those kinds of elves much anyway. Too much Disney on acid.
So, what do you think Philly is up to now, She was awfully secretive about her plans for tonight, don't you think, Val?
Zelos asked, not so innocently.
All right, so maybe I have a mind link after all. Wouldn't you know, it would be with the Goofus tonight.
Zell shrugged and began clearing the table.
Would you bring us that open bottle in the refrigerator, dear? And a couple of glasses?
Zelus cooed from the table.
Sure, at your eternal disposal, my mistress.
Zell continued muttering to himself.
His best listener.
Oh yeah, she's seeing that Schetzer creep again. I heard him saying something to her before. You know, I had to go.
Val growled, coming out of his Zelus-induced stupor. Zell entered with the wine and glasses. Zelus was in Rezzo's lap, locked in a fervent kiss. Lena was red-faced, and Gowrie gallantly helped to pull her out of her chair.
Time to go, Lena.
Zell set the bottle and glasses down on the table a bit harder than necessary. Zelos jumped. He'd been daydreaming and watching Val squirm over the mention of Philia, and had missed the action from his parents.
Can't you wait? We'll be leaving in just a few minutes. You know, some of my friends are still underage,
Zelos said, frowning.
Darling, it's just a kiss. I'm sure Zelgadas and Lena have plenty of experience. But if it's bothering you, dear, leave.
Zelos returned to Rezzo, who looked more uncomfortable than Lena did at this point. Zelos flew out of his chair, sputtering with anger and resentment.
None of us are even dating. Don't you dare insult my friends, especially Lena. She has pride and self-respect and would never sleep around and get pregnant to land a husband.
Whoops, that may have been a bit too far, my friend,
Zell thought, as he ushered the others toward the door to grab coats and put on shoes.
Like me, you mean?
Zela said, her voice strained. Don't apply your Puritan values to me. You never would have been born otherwise.
I wish I hadn't been. I wish I'd never entered this world of misery. All my life, I've just been some toy for you and your husbands to abuse.
Zelos had tears running down his face.
Val grasped the shorter guy by the arm and yanked him out of the room.
That's enough, kid. You don't want to go there now. Let's get out of here and dance some. Lena said she'd dance with you, right? Okay, then let's forget the funky old guys and go. See Zell at the door? Yeah, get. Val opened the car door and guided Zelos into the passenger seat alongside Lena and Gowrie. He slammed the door and settled into the passenger seat in front, barking at Zell, who was driving it. Get the fuck out of this hellhole.
As the car pulled away from the curb, Lena wondered at the shaking, slouched form of her friend beside her. She wasn't equipped to handle this. Zell, through his entire hospital ordeal, vented anger, but never cried. He stored up most of his sensitive emotions, then overloaded and imploded into himself, leaving a rock-hard and bitter heart. Zelos was different. Instead of internalizing his pain, he was exploding. Lena was outraged by Zelos's behavior, but was at a loss as to how to offer Zelos any comfort. Gowrie knew what to do, though. He was on the other side of Lena. He stretched out his long right arm, lightly wrapping it around Lena, and pulled her back to his chest. She glanced up at his face, questioning his actions, and read his thoughts. Gowrie nodded toward Zelos, who was curled forward, arms around his knees, and face hidden. Lena remembered how Gowrie believed that a simple touch could perform miracles. Tentatively, she reached out and tugged at Zelos's shoulders. A little more force, and his head toppled onto her lap, leaving her arm draped over him. She definitely questioned whether this was a good idea or not, understanding how Zelos felt toward her, and didn't want to confuse him with mixed signals. But as the sobs subsided and the quaking slowed, she relaxed her head back against Gowrie's chest again. The three sat in comforting silence, knowing that no matter what, the binds of friendship would get them through. Val twisted around to check the quiet trio and smiled at the odd intertwining of limbs, colors, and size. "Zell's searching for a parking space. You still up for this?" Zelos, reluctantly to be sure, drug himself off his Lena comfort pillow and combed out his hair. "Yes." "Zelos?" Lena called for his undivided attention, with eyes that glowed with flames roiling in barely controlled fury. "Luna talked to me this morning, early. She told me to go to Atlas City to retrieve records, old records, with evidence to destroy your Zelos and Gov anyway. I have to admit, at the time I was scared, too much to get involved. But now I know what to do. I'm in, big time. She's never going to get away with that shit again with you. That's a Lena Inverse promise, mister." Zelos answered her with a smile. Then he bowed his head, fumbled with something hidden in a pocket, and sat up with a dark expression. "Notice anything new?" Gowrie gasped. "A nose stud. Cool, Zelos." Lena squinted at it. "Why didn't I notice that before?" "Because it wasn't there. Magnetic, see?" Zelos took it off and showed her the two parts. Zell set the brake and turned around. "Of course no one said anything about me." Lena had somehow missed the ears, probably because he'd covered them with his hair in the house. Now he had them fully exposed, silver glittering. Lena gaped and slowly took in the new Zell. Chains, studs, earrings, studs. "Oh my God, what did you do to Zell? He was driving a moment ago." Gowrie burst out laughing, then controlled himself enough to say, "That's a good look for you, Zell. The wrist thing is cool." "Yeah, you could use it for a toe ring. Ha ha. Just kidding, guys. Now, time to go. All right. Siberia Wall, here we come," Lena said triumphantly, bounding out of the car. Oh, joy. Rezzo complained of a migraine and trundled off to bed early. He had much to think about and needed to do it alone. Time was running short. He had to resolve the inheritance issue with his son. Son. What an amazing transformation he was seeing. The boy whose life he had nearly destroyed was nearly a man, a good person, much beloved by his friends. Lena had saved him. She was always strong-willed. Zelos had drawn him out. His son had a good heart and helped others like Gowrie and Val. He was a son to be proud of, wasn't he? Yes. Then there's that Zelos kid. How had he managed to turn his life around? A priest, so quickly. He would have made the Red Priest proud, wouldn't he have? Even that hooligan Val was proving to be a young man of substance. What would become of those boys? What would be left of those young men when Zelos's plans were complete? Rezzo sighed. His meeting with the head of the shrine, Nelslada, was weighing heavily on his mind. There was no time left for pondering the possibilities. The time to act was now, before anyone could thwart his moves. Ah, I'm getting too old for this. To have it all behind me, and to be relaxing on that island again. Damn wolves.